We are delighted to welcome today our summer Greek class of 2002 in what our president calls their lively adventure. And if for no other reason that the chapel is fuller today than it was on Friday with the addition of these students. What an appropriate text too, because you begin to drink deeply today at the living water of the Greek New Testament. That water is the essence of life is not a new idea. From the beginning of time, when human beings were looking for a place to live, the first consideration was whether or not there was a water source close by, because life cannot be sustained without water. More wars have been fought over water than over gold or silver. And even now, one of the great disputes between Israel and Syria is over the source of the Jordan River that feeds Israel with most of its water. On the second day of creation, God separated the waters under the firmament from those beneath it. And on the third day, he gathered the waters together so that there would now be dry land and water. And on that dry land, God created a garden called paradise. And what God created was very good. Out of this Garden of Eden flowed a river to water the garden, and then the river divided into four rivers that watered the entire earth to give life to the creation that God had created good. Man and woman he placed in the garden to till it and to keep it. And they could eat from every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then suddenly what had been so good, so right, became so terribly wrong. Man and woman were cast out from the garden. And the paradise that God created for them was now protected on the east with cherubim and a flaming sword to guard our first parents from that tree of life. And the first thing our parents experienced after discovering the shame of their nakedness was that their hunger and their thirst caused them pain and suffering. And they thirsted for more than water. They thirsted for God, a God they had rejected by eating forbidden fruit from a forbidden tree. What was now so wrong somehow had to be made right. And only God could do this. And he does it by a tree of life planted not in a garden, but in a rock pile outside of Jerusalem, a tree on which God's Son was nailed. This Son of God shared our humanity. He shared our hunger and our thirst, so that he might make right what was wrong by being lifted up on that tree. The world that God had created good went so wrong that God's very Son needed to be nailed to this tree and suffer the agonies of hell and be led to cry out to those who crucified him, "I thirst." When that woman comes to Jesus at Jacob's well in Samaria, Jesus asks her for something to drink. A basic question that goes at the very heart, the very essence of what it means to be human in this fallen world. For Jesus to ask for a drink is an affirmation of the humanity he shares with us. But to ask this question of a Samaritan woman as a Jewish man was as radical as anything that Jesus could have done. He asked this question, however, to get at the gift of living water that flows from him, the water only he can give, the water that washed you clean in the font of living water at your baptism. This is the water of life. Not the water that comes out of Jacob's well, Well water may quench your thirst, and you can drink it all your life, and you will still die. But to drink the water that Jesus gives means to never thirst again. For this water will be, as Jesus himself says, an everlasting spring that will well up within you to everlasting life. Of those four rivers flowing out of the Garden of Eden, only one is mentioned in the New Testament, the Euphrates, in the book of Revelation. And it is a symbol of the place from which come the hordes of evil that will be unleashed upon the human race. Here, a river created to water the earth and give it life becomes, in the hands of God's enemies, a source of destruction. But St. John also tells us in Revelation of the victorious king who sits on a throne in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, and a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flows from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of that city. And on either side of that river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits for the healing of the nations, including the nation of Samaria. Like the water from the rock that gave thirsty Israelites refreshment in the desert, water and blood flow from the side of our thirsty Savior, who hangs on the tree planted in that rock pile outside Jerusalem. This water is without price, flowing from Jesus, the fount of living water, so that you and I, Abraham's thirsty children, might drink of this water forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.